It's been said, and probably rightly so, that the work of the church may be considered as threefold. To preach the gospel of Christ to those who are lost, to edify those who are saved, and to do good unto all men, but especially unto those of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. And yet, this three-point purpose perhaps can be reduced to one, namely to lift up Christ before the eyes of the world by our words, by what we say, and by our deeds, by the actions in our lives. To lift up Christ, to take a stand for Christ, or as our song that we've just sang said, to stand up for Christ. Speaking of Christians as the soldiers of Christ, I'd like to read the Apostle Paul's statements in Ephesians 6, beginning of verse 10 and going through verse 13. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I think that is the aim of every Christian here, is to be standing, is to be faithful when we hear the trumpet call, when Jesus comes again, and when we stand before God in judgment. When Martin Luther was called before his enemies to recant or to take back what he had written that was critical of the Catholic Church, the Reformation leader boldly declared this. He said, unless I'm convinced by Scripture or by right reason, for I trust neither in popes nor in councils, since they have erred and contradicted themselves, unless I am thus convinced, I am bound by the text of my Bible. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I neither can nor will recant anything, since it is neither right nor safe to act against conscience. And that would be a well-trained conscience by the Word of God. Then he said, here I stand. I can do no other. Here I stand. I can do no other. In response to some of the religious leaders of Jesus' day, he said that he that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. I think it was Aaron Tippin that said in a country song some time ago that if we don't stand up for something, we'll fall for anything. We need to stand up for something. This morning, the purpose of our lesson is to study along that line of thinking, of standing up for Jesus, and to encourage us to do that, to help to increase our faith so that we'll have the courage and the boldness to stand up for Jesus. But what is involved? What are some of the things that we can't exhaust the number of things that would be involved, but what are some of the things that are involved in standing up for Jesus? What should that mean to me? And today I would like to look with you at three basic New Testament teachings that are essential if we would continue to stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus in our lives and what we say and what we do and how we react and act around others. First of all, in our standing up for Jesus, we need to stand up for Jesus as the Son of God, as divinity, as deity. The Bible uses several names in referring to Jesus. In the book of Matthew, we find that his name was Jesus because he would be the Savior of the world. He was spoken of as Emmanuel, God with us. And numerous times throughout the New Testament, he's referred to as the Son of God. In the book of John, John, in a unique way to himself, to his writings, said that he was the Word. He spoke of Jesus as the Word who was in the beginning, who was with God, who was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the only begotten of the Father. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. A lot of people believe in Jesus. A lot of people believe that Jesus existed, let's say it that way. But many believe that he was only a man. Or if he was anything beyond a man, he was only a prophet or one of the prophets. But you know, because of what he claimed to be the Son of God, was he just a man? Was he just a prophet? Was he who he claimed to be, the Son of God? You know, if he wasn't, he was the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on the face of the earth. The biggest imposter, you might say, that the world has ever known. Because you see, again and again, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He could claim to be deity. The Son of God, but nonetheless God. It was not enough to just believe that Jesus was a man. It's not enough to just believe that he was just another prophet. He was God's divine and only begotten Son. John 3:16. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible, what's to be taught by us who are Christians. That's what's to be believed. Anything else will not do. You know, we're in a world today that has coined the phrase of being politically correct or being politically incorrect. And sometimes in our getting along with other folks, I'm afraid that we do not stand up for Jesus as we need to stand up for Jesus. When the Apostle John wrote the book that bears his name, his avowed purpose for writing that book is stated in John, the 20th chapter. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 20. We'll be reading from verse 30 and 31 from the King James translation. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John was nearing the end of his writing. He still had a few more paragraphs to go, but he said, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." He said, this is not exhaustive. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." He doesn't say that Jesus is just a man. That we can read his book and say, you know, that's very interesting. It's very good to read that about Jesus, just like it's good to read about the characters in a particular play of that time. Julius Caesar, some other play was written at a later time. But Jesus was more than a character that was on this stage that we call earth. John says he was the Son of God. He says, "I've written these things that you might believe that he's Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And he says, as a result of that believing, that you might have eternal life. Now, no one else professes to do that for us spiritually, to give us salvation, to give us eternal life. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, as Jesus was seeking to encourage the discouraged, to give heart to the disheartened, as his disciples were facing the many things that were to face Jesus in the coming weeks, he wanted to give them something that they could lean upon, some thinking they could lean upon. He told them that the only way to the Father was through Him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by me. That's what the Bible says. That may be narrow-minded. That may not be politically correct today in an era when we have many, many religions existing in this country and many new ones coming into this country. But nevertheless, that's what the Bible teaches. We stand up for Jesus. When we show people and tell people that Jesus was the divine Son of God, not just another man, not just another prophet. This man, this Son of God, was sent into this world to bring salvation to all who would be in obedience to Him. So if we're to stand up for Jesus, we're to stand up against those who would say that there are other ways to God, that there are other gods, that Jesus is just another man, who would keep quiet about what the Bible teaches. You know, there is something in a name. That's the second point I would like us to look at. We stand up for Jesus. We stand up for the name of Jesus. Some people might say, well, there's nothing in a name. We've heard sermons on this, I guess. But, you know, you talk to a young couple that's expecting their first child, and you ask them for a list of the names that they're considering for that child. On that list, people have talked to me, and they don't talk to me much about that. They probably talk to Janice, but I never heard anyone pondering about the using the name Judas or Jezebel, or what about Satan or Beelzebub, Bible names. But nobody can. So there is something in a name, isn't there? There's something in a name religiously also. It's impossible to stand up for Jesus while standing on the teachings or standing on the commandments of men. Jesus had this to say in Matthew 15 for those who chose to do so in His time. Look at Matthew chapter 15. We'll read verses 7 through 9. Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious writers, the religious teachers of Jesus' day were forever trying to trip Him up, trying to stump Him, trying to get Him into a corner. And they kept questioning Him, and in that context, Jesus said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." To worship in vain is to have an empty worship, a worthless worship. And Jesus tried to correct that in His day. And this would apply to us today. We need to take heed to the words of Christ. We need to take heed to the name of Christ. The name of Christ was being bannered around by some of the individuals in Jerusalem, according to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. A man that was laying outside one of the gates to the city, to the temple, the gate to the beautiful gate, had been lying there for many years. A man in the neighborhood of 40 years of age and not been able to walk. He was lame. And Peter and John walked by him, and he was asking for help, for alms, for money, for assistance, monetarily. And Peter looked at him and caused him to gaze at him and said, "You know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. Rise up and walk." And later, as the people were discussing with Peter and John as to who should get the credit for that, how was that done? And Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ." "In the name of Jesus Christ," they said to him, rise up and walk. The name of Jesus, and while he had their attention, he went on and quoted something from the Old Testament that talked about the rejection of the center of the cornerstone of the building. And then he said this in verse 12. Luke quotes Peter's words as he is standing up for the name of Jesus.
Neither
is there salvation, he said, in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the name through which religious work is to be done. In fact, we end our prayers in Jesus' name. We pray through Christ. He's our mediator is the reason we say that. We go through Christ. He said the only way to the Father is by me. We go through Christ. He is our high priest, as the book of Hebrews tells us. The name of Jesus, though, is the name through which religious work is to be done. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, that we're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give thanks to God and the Father by Him. In Philippians 2, in verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul spoke of the name of Jesus. Turn with me to Philippians 2. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. This is just after the Apostle Paul, in writing this book to these Christians that he cared for deeply. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he talked about Jesus coming from heaven, humble himself to come to this earth, being obedient unto God, even unto death. Then in verse 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. I'm not making that up. I'm not saying that in and of myself. That's what the Bible says. Giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. It doesn't matter where things are, Paul says. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I've heard some say, that, you know, perhaps his name won't be confessed here on this earth, but he'll ultimately be confessed at some point. The name of Jesus. So in our spiritual lives, the name of Jesus Christ is very important. We should faithfully stand up for Jesus, as we sang in that song. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the Christ, stand up for Jesus as God's Son, the way to the Father. Stand up for Jesus and His name. At His name, the name of Jesus Christ. We need to pray and appeal to the world, to the religious world, to set aside human names, human creeds, human doctrines, as far as the basics of their belief. And take a stand for Jesus Christ. Take a stand for the Son of God. The third place, as we stand up for Jesus, and we think about the meaning of that, we need to stand up for the authority of Jesus. You know, a lot of people, in looking at Jesus as a good man and as a prophet, they don't look to him as one who speaks on behalf of God, as one who has the authority to say what he says. And a lot of times when we talk to other individuals, others of other religious groups, one of the basic problems we have is the problem of authority. The authority, in as far as God is concerned, and what he wants us to do in our lives, the authority is his word. The authority is his book, the Bible. And throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, as he taught the multitudes, as he taught those 12 disciples that were close to him. His teachings brought astonishment. His teachings brought amazement to those that heard. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, they said that the amazement and astonishment was caused by the fact that he spoke as one having authority. He taught as one having authority and not as their teachers, as their scribes. If we consider the deity of Jesus, the fact that he's divine, and the name of Jesus, those two are really establish the authority of Jesus. So when we look at what Jesus says, he speaks with the authority of the divine. Because he is the Son of God, he said in Matthew 28:18, after his resurrection, he says, all power or all authority has been given me in heaven and in earth. To do anything in the name of Christ is to do that thing by the authority of Christ. Now, what does the Bible say elsewhere about the authority of Christ? Is he alone to be the authority in matters of religion? Or are there other revelations that are yet to come? Peter said that we've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In the book of Jude, verse 3, Jude says, contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. Past tense. In Hebrews chapter 1, you turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 and 2. God has spoken to man throughout the centuries, throughout the years of man's existence. Early on, he spoke to the fathers, the head of the households. Later, he spoke to the people, his people, through the law of Moses. He spoke to them by prophets as time went on. In the book of Hebrews, the writer is dealing with a group of Christians, previously Jews, but now, quote, Jewish Christians. And they're looking back to Judaism. They're looking back to the past. They're looking back to things that they consider to be better than Christianity. And the Hebrew writer goes on and lists a great number of things wherein Christianity is better than what they had. Perhaps they were seeing the outward trappings of Judaism. But listen, as the writer of this letter says in chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times, various times, divers manners, different manners, spake in times past unto the Father by the prophets. So God, who did this, spoke by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Remember the voice from heaven speaking when Jesus was baptized? The voice said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And if you think with me again to the transfiguration, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. The authority of Jesus is further confirmed in God's Word, in the fact that he is the only one. He alone is the head of the body, the church. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. The writer said a number of things about Christ. If we look back to verse 13, we find that Christ is being discussed. Verse 18 says, he, that is Christ, is the head of the body. When we look at the physical body, what function does the head have? Try living without it. The head directs everything that goes on with the body. We have a problem with our head, we don't really consider, we feel it all through our body, don't we? and says that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, speaking of Christ, in all things he might have the preeminence, that he might be number one. Jesus is the head of the church. So what is the authority as far as the church is concerned? Jesus Christ and his word is the authority. What about religious conventions that meet every so often? The religious synods and councils of the past, are they needed? Are they needed to make or to amend God's laws that govern the people of God? And I think if we look at the Bible, we find that there's no place there that says that those particular rights have been granted to anyone. In 2 John verse 9, in fact, God's word issues a warning. Whosoever transgresseth, John says, whosoever transgresseth or goes beyond and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Therefore, we need today to submit solely to Jesus as the authority in our lives as far as leading us spiritually. I ran across this essay, or might call it a poem, except it doesn't rhyme. And perhaps you've heard it. It's called The Unique Christ. His birth was contrary to the laws of life. His death was contrary to the laws of death. He had no cornfields or fisheries, but he could spread a table for 5,000 people and have bread and fish to spare. He walked on no beautiful carpets or velvet rugs, but he walked on the waters of the Sea of Galilee, and they supported him. 3 years he preached his gospel. He wrote no book. Built no church house, had no monetary backing. But after these 2,000 years, he's the one central character of human history, the pivot around which the events of the ages revolve, and the only regenerator of the human race. Was it merely the son of Joseph and Mary, the question is asked, who crossed the world's horizon 2,000 years ago? Was it merely human blood that was spilled at Calvary's hill for the redemption of sinners? What thinking man can keep from exclaiming, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God? The unique Christ. Stand up for him. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for him as the Son of God. Stand up for Jesus in his name, because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Stand up for his authority. And folks ask you about what you believe, so let's go to the Bible. Let's read what the Bible says on the particular subject that we're discussing. And let's allow God's word to speak to us. Jesus said, all authority, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, stand up for Jesus. This morning, if you haven't before this day taken a stand for Christ in your life, why not begin today? If you've not studied God's Word sufficiently to make that stand, see, some of us would be glad to talk to you about God's Word and talk with you as we open God's Word and discuss it with you. If you have studied God's Word sufficiently or studied it with someone else and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, why not confess His name this morning? Why not repent of your sins and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, as was the case in the New Testament? As a Christian, if you desire our prayers on your behalf, if today you would like to rededicate your life to Christ, why not come as we stand at the same time?
Let's pray to our Father.